The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know it. Whether you're meditating on it or not, you know the grace. There is a grace there that though Jesus was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. There's an exchange that happened on the cross. Isn't that good news? You don't have to live like the world lives. There's been an exchange made. And that's good news. The exchange is, right here we see Jesus, though he was rich, Jesus had everything. He had the whole kingdom of heaven. All creation was his. The Bible says, without him was nothing made that was made. He had the kingdom, and he gave it up, and he laid down his life unto death. And the Bible says, even death on the cross. So there's an exchange that happened. Our God took your poverty, and he gave you his riches. Now it's the exchange. Was Jesus ever poor? You know, religion tells us that Jesus was poor. He walked around, he was poor. You know, he didn't have a place to lay his head. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't poor. I remember years ago, Randy preached a sermon about that. Jesus was blessed. Jesus always had every need supplied all the time, continually. He never lacked. He never was without. In fact, he was doing so well that Judas was stealing money out of the treasury and nobody even knew it. You know, he had money. Jesus was blessed. He had the kings came to him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they didn't just bring, you know, a little cup of, you know, 75 cents. Here, I came all this way. Here's a few coins. Man, they blessed him. They loaded it onto him. They poured out the blessing of their kingdoms upon Jesus. And so he was blessed. You know, Jesus grew up working with his dad. He was blessed. So he wasn't in lack at any time. He was rich. Spirit, soul, and body, he was rich. But the Bible says he became poor. He became poor for us. He wasn't poor. He became poor. Now, the other side of that is, you, through his poverty, might become rich. Have you done anything to earn the riches of heaven? No, but you've become rich. It's already happened. It's an exchange that has already happened. And people might say, well, you know, no, that's not me. I'm just going to mean enough, you know, I just want enough for my own needs to be met, and that's all, and I'm okay. I just want to live humbly on this earth. You've been made rich. And like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, we need poverty taken out of us. God won't take us out of poverty, but he'll take the poverty out of us when we begin to meditate on the Word. When we begin to meditate on scriptures like this, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And if you look up the words poverty and rich, poverty means poor and rich means wealth. And you know, it means spiritually rich. Spiritually rich. No, it doesn't mean spiritually rich. It means rich. He's made us rich. He's blessed us and given us authority on this earth to speak out his word and declare what will be in our lives. Amen? We are each one a result of what we declare in our lives over the past. So we can change that at any time. We begin to speak God's blessings in our lives, begin to speak out his goodness in our lives. We can see those things come to pass. That's how we appropriate what he's given to us. We believe it by faith, and he pours it out on us. We say, Lord, I believe that. I believe I've been made rich, and I thank you for it. And you walk on. And circumstances may not line up, but you say, Lord, I thank you that you delivered me from the curse of poverty. I've been made rich. Amen. I've been made rich to be a blessing in this earth. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, if you want to put that one up there, Caleb, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he'll get it up in a little bit there. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Did Jesus ever sin? He never sinned. He made him to be sin or become sin for us. Jesus was no more a sinner than he was poor. He was no more sick than he was a sinner than he was poor. He was no more burdened by the cares of this life and worried than he was sick than he was poor. He became sin for us. Well, it says right there, who knew no sin? He didn't even know sin. He completely upheld the law and lived according to God's perfect will. And then there's the exchange again, that we might be what? Become righteous? No. And has anyone here, you know, made it? Hey, I finally got it together. Woo! Finally happened. I'm 51 now. It finally happened. I made it. I'm righteous. Woo! No, you can't make that. But it says that we might be made. We might become righteousness of God in him. Don't you love the standard the Bible sets? Man, the Bible just goes, let's just get through all the fluff here. Let's just say who you are. You're made the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. Can you imagine saying that in the Old Testament? They'd get a stone right then and knock you in the head with it. Been made the righteousness of God in him. Woo! That's good news. Amen. Did you do anything to deserve it? Did I do anything to deserve it? No. It's just been given to us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I'm reminded of a scripture here. Like I said, I had a really crazy week, a really busy week. And I think sometimes, you know, it just was a busy week. But I said, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm just going to prepare the best I can and let you take care of it. And he said, good enough for me. So that's what we're doing here. I want to look at this. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, if you're confessing the word of God over a situation and the devil comes and tells you it's not working, pull out that scripture right there. For the word of God is living and powerful. Woo! Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God can see everything, can he? But God can't see through the blood of Jesus. He sees you righteous. He sees you as righteous as he is. Amen? The blood of Jesus stops the eyes from seeing and judging us. We're blessed. We've been made rich. We've been healed. We've been made health. We have been made peace. We have been made righteous by the blessing and the goodness of our God. How wonderful is that? Amen? That's a wonderful thing. That's an exciting thing. And look at this in the Amplified there, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Can you put that up in the Amplified, Caleb? It says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God. There's a light that comes with being the righteousness of God. Amen? There is a light that comes in being endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be approved and acceptable. You can come before the Lord anytime. Father, I thank you that I'm approved and acceptable in Jesus Christ. Man, that's a good thing. He's given us approval and acceptance. So you can come to him anytime you want. As a matter of fact, we abide in his presence all the time. He lives in us. And he's given us his spirit. He's given us the fruit of his spirit. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4 in verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. And all I want to do is just give you guys some good news this morning. Everybody's being real quiet, but this is good news. This is good stuff, amen? Because it's not me, it's the Word of God. Let me take a look here. There's a scripture that I'm thinking of. I'm sorry, Caleb. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. We'll come back there to Romans 4 in just a minute. Galatians 5, chapter 4. See, we live under the grace of God. We have been made these things through Him. It's not anything we've done. They just come to us through faith. It's already been appropriated. Jesus has already sat down at the right hand of the Father. He already said, it's finished. And I think Jesus on that cross said, let's go ahead. I've already whipped every devil in hell. I've already made a shame of the devil. Let's go ahead and just finish this thing up. And he spoke. Boom, it is finished. He said, there. Now there's the period on it. Or exclamation point, actually. It is finished. Bam. It's done. And that's it. There's no more discussion about it. It is finished. And the devil will come to you, and he'll try to start this little fire, and he'll start this fire, and he'll start this fire. And pretty soon we get our eyes off of it is finished. We get our eyes into, doing this fire, and doing this fire, and doing this fire. And pretty soon the ants are marching in our dreams. And ants in our pants. But check this out. Galatians 5, verse 4. This is good. He's speaking to Christians here. You have become estranged from Christ. What? You have become estranged from Christ. Well, what does that mean? You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. We just need to appropriate what we've become. And that's it. Not try to make anything happen. We believe it. You're the righteous or you're not. Jesus paid the price. He gave us his blood. He died on the cross. He declared it is finished. And that's it. And the enemy wants to come in. This. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now shut up and get out of here. In the name of that of Jesus and his blood. Woo! He made open shame of you on the cross. Now shut up and get out of here. And he'll go away for a while, but he'll try to do those little fires again. Try to get you going on those little fires. Don't let him do it. It says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Wow, we can fall from grace. Does that mean we're not saved? No, it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. But grace is the free gift that he appropriated everything through. Grace, and I like to think of it this way, and I've heard other preachers say this, but the Lord showed me one time, it's a pipe that's in heaven. Faith is the pipe, and grace is the flow inside the pipe. Grace is the water. We have control over the spigot. Whether you want to open it up wide or close it. But when we start getting into works, we start trying to justify ourselves. We start trying to, by our own efforts, become what the Word says we already are, and we get frustrated. I've heard Joyce Meyer say that. Are you doing this by yourself? Are you frustrated? then you're doing it by yourself. Because with God, there will not be frustration. There will be peace. Doesn't mean it'll be easy all the time. Doesn't mean it'll always be a bowl of cherries. But with God, it will happen, and you will not experience frustration. Amen? You will not experience the frustration when it's God. So, we can become estranged from Christ. And the Amplified says in 5:4, if you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and so separated and severed from Christ. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you're doing it on your own. And you're just out there doing a good work. But man, it's going to be a hard road. And I've been there. That's when I hear God say in the middle of the night, I give my beloved sleep. I got to get some things out of my life here and get my eyes back on Jesus. When we get our eyes off of him and what he's done, and that's the devil's attempt to get us to look at the distractions and the little fires. When we get our eyes off of God, then we start getting our eyes onto what we can do. That's why, you know, we were talking about in the offering. It's not what we give. We obey our Lord because we love him. And he says, give 10% into the church. He says, give tithes and offerings. But it's not, you know, here you go, Lord. I'm giving $10,000 today. Just me and you. And he's like, where's your heart? There's no heart in that of love. There's me in that. So allow God to work through you. Allow God's blessing to come on you. And quit trying to be attempt to be justified by the law. We were talking this morning about Aaron and Moses. They were in the desert. Moses went up to get the law. And he came back down and he, you know, everybody was partying down there. And there was a gold calf. And Moses said, hey, what happened here, Aaron? You know, what's the deal with the golden calf? And Aaron said, everybody just threw their gold into the fire and this golden calf came out. You know, it's not funny, but it's funny. Can you imagine Moses? Yeah, right. It just came up out of the fire. It's just this golden calf. Well, okay. Let's worship that thing. I mean, you can't comprehend that. But that was when the law was given. And if you look back in the whole trip of the Israelites from the time of Egypt up to that point, nobody died. They complained and they griped and stuff, but nobody died. And then once the law was given, people died. 3,000 people died. And there was hardship and there were plagues and there were serpents and there were all kinds of things going on. Once the law came, the law said, here's my standard of excellence. And man couldn't make it, couldn't reach that. How frustrating to try. And so God had to take some kind of blood. So he said, well, let's do the blood of bulls and goats and let's offer that up every year until the perfect blood of our Savior came and was shed for us. And now we have been made the righteousness. And all those people who had to live under the law who were righteous have been brought in as well. And we've been grafted in. Amen? Woo, that's good. We've been grafted in to the vine, to Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. The fruit he bears, we bear. The goodness and the blessing of God is ours. His righteousness is our righteousness. His health is our health. His peace is our peace. His joy is our joy. Amen. That's pretty good. I was thinking about a scripture over here in First Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, that's what I'm trying to say. It says in verse 3, we give thanks to God To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of truth. Now I want to skip down here to, let's just keep going in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is a prayer that's been put in the Bible for us to model. You can speak this over yourself and over your family, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Now, this is where I want to get to, okay? Talking about his blessing in our lives. We're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Remember that word according means equal to. You've been strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. With what? For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Wow. Now, fruit of the Spirit is patience. And patience is just being constantly constant, consistently consistent. Patience is not just waiting a long time, and I'll just, you know, remember that old prayer, God, give me patience and give it to me now. It's not, patience isn't a long time. Patience is a man or woman who has their eyes on Christ and is continually speaking the word, the promise, to see the end result that they are believing for. Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when we hope for something, we find a promise in the word. We say, Lord, I believe that. I backed out of my driveway one day. I can remember this. It was years ago. And I backed out, and I was in this little bitty car, and I was driving off, and all of a sudden, it was like it wasn't me, but it was me. I can't explain. It was a spiritual thing, I guess. But I said, Lord, your word and my life don't line up. Well, his word's not going to change. I said, show me, Lord, how to get my life in line with your word. Show me how to live those blessings. Show me how to live that way. And as I meditated on this, you know, I've meditated on the scripture for years, and one day I just realized I'm strengthened with all might. Well, who's doing the strengthening? God is. God is strengthening me. How does he strengthen us? Through his word. He strengthened me equal to his glorious power. So there's the strength that he's given to me, the power of his word, which is his power. Now, who in here would agree that God is powerful? I would agree. God is powerful. That's the strength that he's given to us. That level of strength. Man, there's no limit to how strong we can be in the Lord. Amen? He's given it to us for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So when you're believing God for something, you can just be happy. Why? Because his joy. You notice he doesn't say, you have patience and long-suffering and be happy. Hey, God doesn't talk about being happy too much. Happy's an emotion. Happy comes and happy goes. Happy this and happy that. You know? That makes me happy. I just got a cheeseburger. Yeah, I'm happy. Well, my cheeseburger's gone. Now my stomach hurts. Okay, I'm not happy. Okay, you know, or, you know, whatever. I mean, what makes us happy? Woo, I just got $10,000. Hey, I'm happy. Yeah, okay, I spent all that money. Well, now I'm not happy. But joy is something that is here. That's God's joy. It's not an emotion. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a part of who he is. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Why? Because it's what he is. He is joy. And I think about him this way. He's young. He's joyful. He's rich. He's well. He's happy. He's happy. Joy makes you happy. Praise God. He's joyful. And he's given that to us in our hearts. Not something we work for, something we are. We are his joy. I had a lady at work ask me the other day. She is negative Nelly. The glass is half empty. Oh, my gosh. You know, she walks in. How was your weekend? Just a cloud over her head. And I was walking around the fax machine. I was in my own little world. And I was whistling or singing or something, probably annoying to her. But she said, God, where do you get all that joy? It just makes her mad. I said, it's just the Lord. She says, man, I just don't get you guys. But she will. She will. This girl the other day, I work with another couple ladies in there. And this girl stood up. She said to that negative Nelly, she said, I hope there's not a Nelly in here, is there? Okay. We're okay. She says, you know, it's just a matter of time for you to come over to our side. You know it's going to happen. And that girl said, well, you know, some things are happening in my family, but yeah, you know. When they get it, she said, then they can tell me about it. She didn't say, no, get it out of my face. She's like, hey, there's a ray of hope there. Joy makes a difference in people's lives. Joy is a light in darkness. I tell you, when you're joyful, it makes a difference. People notice joy because joy is a spirit. It's an ambiance, you know? It's a presence. There's just joy. I work with a lady who is extremely joyful all the time. Her husband says, you're a little bit more than I can handle today. So she tells me, sometimes he tells me, you got a little too much more joy than I can handle today. She says, so I have to just kind of back off, go do something else. She can be a little annoying. She's so joyful, it's getting on my nerves. No, but God's joy is in us. I'm just kind of kidding around, but God has given us his joy. We are joy. Joy, youthfulness. Okay, now to Romans chapter 4. What time is it? Oh, we're good. We got a long time. Getting back to the law, trying to live under the law. Is the law a bad thing? Well, no, the law's not a bad thing. You know, we have laws in our city. And they're good things. You know, they sort of keep our teenage sons from going 80 on the loop, you know. But I tell you what, if you see the law on the side of the road, you always check that speedometer, don't you? Look at it. Try to be cool, you know. Got the nose to the ground. Drive by the officer. Hey, what's up? Trying to be cool, you know. Especially when we were younger. Drive with that thing up, you know, hand up there. I had a 64 Chevy. Lowrider. And that thing, when you put the brakes on it, drive by the officer. What's up? And he's like, you punk. But the law is a good thing. The law gives us order. It gives us control of our society. And truly, the church is the pillar of our society. It is the order of our society. But God has given us worldly laws, things to abide by here on the earth to keep order in our society. So let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did Abraham do anything to be righteous? No, he believed. God gave him the promise, and Abraham said, okay. And, you know, Abraham had some trouble believing the promise. Because he asked him, he said, Lord, I don't get it. You know, you're telling me that one that's going to come from me, that's going to be my heir, is going to be from me. And my descendants are as the sand of the seashore. That's hard to say. Sand of the seashore. But all I've got is Eleazar, you know, my servant. And God said, no, he's not the one. He's going to come from you. And he took him outside. And he said, look up at the stars. He said, so shall your seed be. You know, isn't God good? God gave him something he could hold on to. Anytime he began to doubt, he just could go outside and look up and go, okay, so shall my seed be. Lord, I thank you. God gave him something he could hold on to. And God blessed him because he believed. You read the account of Abraham. Man, Abraham went, you know, he went back to Egypt, which he wasn't supposed to do. And he went back to Egypt and he lied about his wife. And he said, tell the Pharaoh, you know, she's my sister and all this. And you know, because he was afraid of getting killed, you know, for Sarah. And then God got all over Pharaoh. God said, you're a dead man. Pharaoh said, well, I didn't do this. I did this innocently. When you're blessed, you're blessed. Even in the midst of a mistake, God got onto Pharaoh. God didn't go to Abraham and say, what are you doing? He said to Pharaoh, you're a dead man. And so he told Abraham, go pray for him. Man, when you're blessed, you're blessed, let me tell you. And even in the midst of mistakes, you're still blessed. And God will call you blessed, and God will look at you as blessed. Even when we step back, like the Bible said, and be estranged from Christ, you're still his child, and he loves you, and he's blessed you, and he's given you. He can't crucify his son again. It's already been done. It's already been done by his great love for you. And so when we step back and be estranged from Christ, he's still right there. And we step back under his grace and get rid of our own works and say, Lord, teach me to walk under your grace and to live under your grace and to be under your grace. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4, we were at Romans 4, 4. Now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as a debt. Okay, when you go to your job and you spend a whole week working and they give you a check, do you go, huh, a paycheck? Wow, how cool. That's awesome. No, you worked for it. If they don't give you a check, what do? I'm calling the labor board. Hey, they're not paying me. I just worked 40 hours and they didn't pay me. You'd be upset, right? Because they owe it to you. And it's a symbiotic relationship. You owe them work. If they come in and you're just sitting around and they're paying you, they're going to say, hey, get to work, right? Because you owe them work. And they owe you a paycheck. And so that's something that the Lord, in his goodness, has given to us. Not him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. Keep going there, Caleb. But to him that works not, oh, now we got someone that's not working, but believes, oh, wait a minute. So you're saying I shouldn't work, but I should believe. What does that mean? Do I just lay around? No. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. He wants us to get out there and work. He wants us to get out there and be a blessing in the world where we are. He wants us to shine as lights in the darkness. The world's getting darker and darker and darker. But God's got a plan. You think God's going, oh my gosh, it's just getting darker and darker down there. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus, what do you think? No, he's got it under control. As it gets darker and darker, we shine brighter and brighter. The joy that's in us, that's why God in these last days is giving us revelation of who we are. He's saying, here's what you have. I've given it all to you. You didn't work for it. Abraham never worked for it. He never worked for the blessing. He just believed. he believed. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. You believe with faith. That's what faith is, believing. Faith is saying, yes, amen. I believe that promise. And then thanking God for it. Amen. Go down to verse 20, Caleb. Can you pull it up in the Amplified for me? There it is. Now look what Abraham did. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. Anybody been there? You find yourself in unbelief? You find yourself distrusting? You find yourself without words? Oh, they're there. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. In other words, his mind was all over the place. His emotions were everywhere, you know? But he didn't waver. What does that mean? He just continued to believe the promise. He continued to step outside of his tent and look up at the sky and see the stars. He just continued day after day after day after day after year after year after year. He never questioned concerning the promise of God. But listen to this. Even in the midst of unbelief or distrust, he grew strong. Ooh, don't you like that? And was empowered by faith. Woo! As he gave praise and glory to God. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Woo-hoo! Yeah! He gave praise and glory to God. He rejoiced in the promise of God. He went outside and he looked at the stars and he said, that is my inheritance. That is my inheritance. That is what I have. Amen. And he stayed with it. And he allowed the faith that was in him, empowered him. The empowerment came through that faith. God strengthened him. God strengthened him as he continued to believe. And I tell you what, I bet the devil had a harder and harder and harder time talking him out of it, even after he messed up, you know, and had Ishmael. You know, along your path of believing and trusting God, there may be an Ishmael that comes along from time to time. Lay it at the Lord's feet. Just ask him to forgive you and go on and rejoice in his goodness in your life. In my own life, I had a big mess that I had made. I'm not going to go into it, but it was just a mess. And as I began to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I have created a mess here. Will you help me? And he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first scripture I heard. And do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. And then the next scripture, see, I've always stopped there, but he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and healing to your body. How many of us have gotten under the weight of our own mess? And it's hard, isn't it? Makes it hard to sleep. You think about it all day long. It's a mess. And you just say, Lord, I made a mess. And the devil just loves to jump all over that. Yeah. You know, he'll just try to tear you up and kick you all over the place. But I said, I remember praying this prayer. I said, Lord, I made a mess. And I'm going to give it to you. And immediately I heard, you can't just give it to him like that. I knew it was the devil. I kind of laughed. And my brain is saying, you're right. There's no way that I can make this big old mess and just give it to my daddy and say, sorry, I messed up. Will you help me? But yeah, that's what happened. God took care of it. And even with hundreds of thousands of dollars in this mess, it just went away. God took care of it. God took care of it. It took time. I had to stand on his word. I had to make myself have peace in the middle of the night and say, no, I'm not going to have that. I would get up. I would take communion. I would ask God, thank him, remembering his death. He bore my mess upon the cross. And that's what, you know, in our language, we would just put that in the Bible. Jesus took my mess and gave me a good deal. Woo! Gave me a good deal. As they say in Texas, he gave me a good deal. He gave me a good deal. Deliverance, forgiveness, blessing. And now I can enter into that joy. I can grab a hold of it. I can hold fast to it. I can give him praise in the middle of the mess and know that I'm being empowered by faith as I give praise and glory to God, because the promise is sure. The word of God is sharp and powerful. Now, in Romans 5:17, it says, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, talking about Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I've read that scripture for a lot of years. I reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. And that was good until I got the revelation of those who receive God's abundant provision of grace. How is his grace brought into our lives? It's received. We receive it. When we believe, we receive it. And we also receive the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. The Bible calls it a gift over and over again. It's a gift. And a gift is not earned. A gift is not anything you did anything for. And a gift is to be appreciated and to be rejoiced over. If you went out there and there was a car, a brand new car, with your name on it, and it had a bow tied around it, you know, would you run back in? I can't take that. No, I just can't receive that. No, it's really nice, but I can't take it. No way, man. You'd say, yeah, where's the keys? Give me the keys. And you would take it, and you would rejoice, and you would be grateful. And when you got in that car, you'd probably say, thank you for this car, Lord. Thank you so much. It's so nice to have this car. And you'd peel out and probably break the law. And then there you'd be, breaking the law. But you'd be forgiven. I'm kidding. God wants us to receive the gift that he's given to us. The gift of his son, Jesus. The gift of his blessing. The gift of the fruits of the Spirit. Read the fruits of the Spirit. Look that up. And just realize that you are those things. You are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, temperance. You are the fruits of the Spirit. That's the rivers of living water that come out of us. Jesus said, rivers of living water will come out of your belly. That's where they come from. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And we water that fruit, we water that seed, and we produce when we declare that word. Speak it out, rejoice, receive, and know that as you receive those things, that you are reigning in life. Reigning in life. Now, there were a lot of different organizations, if you read back in the Old Testament. There were the priests, and you know, the priests abused the people, and that didn't work out. So then they went to the prophets, and that worked out for a while, but you know, kind of, sort of. And then they had the kings. Well, we've been made the priests. We've been made priests and kings through Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:6, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us kings and priests. Wow, We really are something in Jesus. Not by our own works, but by his work. Man, we have been made something in him. We have been made something. It says in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 5, it says, he has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Until you're a king and you realize that you're a king, until you get the revelation that you're a king, you won't walk as a king. See, Saul had been made king, but they found him hiding. He wouldn't tell you. He didn't have the revelation that he was king. David was anointed king, but it took a lot of years for that to manifest. David got a revelation that he was king, and what he had in his God, man, he tore it up. Amen? So we have to realize that we are kings and priests on this earth. We have to realize what God has given to us. We need to get that revelation through meditation and through praise. Our lives need to be filled with praise. And my advice is pray in tongues. Pray in tongues all the time. Pray in tongues when you get up. Pray in tongues. 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 And let the Holy Spirit pray that out for you. Get that revelation. And let him help you with it. And let him lead you in it. Let him guide you in it. And the revelations will come. And you will see the manifestation of those blessings in your life. God has given us beyond what I can even say. Because I don't have the full revelation of it. And the Bible says, when we get to heaven, then we'll see what we really are. Woo! Man, then we'll see what we're like. And we're going to look at each other and go, ooh, looking good. And I always tell everybody in heaven, I'm going to be ripped. Can't help it. Just going to be. But God has given us his blessing. God has given us his fullness. God has given us his son, Jesus. So let's appropriate that. Let's use Jesus. He wants to be used. Jesus came and he washed the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, no, man, you ain't washing my feet. He said, yeah. He said, if I can't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he's given himself to serve us and to bless us on this earth. We can take from him and take from him. Well, my sons have a need, and they come to me and they say, Dad, I'm having a struggle. I need some help. Man, thanks for coming to me. I mean, I'm pleased to do it. Even if it's something they messed up, I'm pleased to be able to help them because they're my children. I love them. And I'll put anything that I want aside to help them and to see them prosper and succeed in their lives. How much more God for us? God's heart is for you to receive everything. Take from him. Take from him and take from him and take from him. And you know what? He's an infinite God. You can take and take and take and take and take. When you think about Adam and Eve, God said, keep the garden. Here's your job. Keep the garden. Man, did they have everything? They had gold. They had fruit. They had the animals being cool to them. I mean, they had it made. He just had to keep the garden. Just one little thing. Keep the garden. Don't need that tree over there. Well, that's right. That was the representation of the law. They couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep it. But God has given us the tree of life. Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's given us the tree of life. And through the blood of Jesus, we can partake of the tree of life and receive all that he is. Amen? What a plan. Man, how did God even stand it all those years not getting this plan to us? But he needed to give us a law so that we could see that there was no way that we could live according to his standards. We were not able to keep that law. We failed every time. Every one of us fell short of it. And the law is his glory. We could not maintain or achieve his glory. But through Jesus, we have. He's good. He's so good. And he's made it easy. He's just made it easy. You say, well, life is hard. Jesus said we'd have troubles. Yeah, but he said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world and I've given you that victory. Now, will you take it? Yes, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take some of that. And I'll apply your victory with my tongue and declare blessing over my life and my family. Amen. God is good.